John 8:36, the word of the Lord. Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's ask the Lord to touch our hearts and our minds tonight. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Seated. Choose true freedom. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines freedom as a couple of the definitions go as follows. The quality or state of being free, such as the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. Another one says liberation from slavery or restraint, or from the power of another. Independence. Have you ever noticed that the peoples and groups in our nation and around the world have their own definition of freedom? Everyone has their own definition of what a righteous and fair society should look like. And if we're honest with ourselves, we have our own definition of freedom. The freedom that this world has to offer brings can feel great, although it's temporary. But when it ends up with, it brings with it sin, fear, anxiety, distress, hatred, and so on. But here are some of the results that God's freedom gives. His freedom releases us from sin. It releases us from fear. Releases us from anxiety, distress, and many other things. The Bible calls them weights and sins. His freedom says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. His freedom says, I will not leave thee nor forsake you. In his freedom, we will find forgiveness of sins. In his freedom, we get his nature living on the inside of us. In his freedom, we belong to him. In his freedom, he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. In his freedom, we find the true meaning of love, because God is love. The world is seeking for love, and every group that wants to give their own definition of freedom, the problem is that love is missing from that. Freedom, indeed. But it does come by choice. God gives us a choice. The choice is freedom in the world or freedom from the world. When we come into the presence of the Lord, there is a choice always that we need to make. Every time we come into his presence, we can either choose to draw closer to him as he beckons to us, or we can choose to walk away from him and follow our own direction. When we come into the manifest presence of God, there's always a choice to be made. It may be your first time in the presence of the Lord, or it may be your 100,000th time in the presence of the Lord. But every time we come in to his presence, there's a choice that he gives us to make. We have the opportunity to choose true freedom that he offers, or the freedom that we are comfortable in. Either way, we will make a choice. He will not make that choice for us. We should never take being in the presence of the Lord for granted, because in the presence of the Lord, there are miracles taking place at all times. They may be visible to our eyes, and they may be invisible to our eyes. But there, when we get into the presence of the Lord, there are always miracles taking place. And there's always a choice that is presented to us that we need to make, that God wants us to make. And he wants us to make true freedom. And I'll explain that in a little bit. Here's a man's definition of freedom. When Jesus arrived on the scene over 2,000 years ago, he was declared to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, God manifest in flesh, Israel's longed for king, their hope, their freedom. For all, their definition of freedom, though, would forever be altered by him. In a way that some would believe in and others would despise. To many, freedom was defined as deliverance from Roman oppression, deliverance from the governments of this world, from the things of this world, because they finally wanted to be rulers. They wanted to finally have the upper hand in this world and be the conquerors as opposed to the conquered. They wanted it to be once again like the days of King David and King Solomon. They wanted Jesus to establish his kingdom here and now. One of the disciples that he chose was Simon the Zealot. And the Simon belonged to a group that was a nationalist group. It was a group that wanted to establish the rule and reign here of Israel on the earth. Jesus chose him to be one of his disciples. But his definition of what freedom would be altered as he walked with Jesus. Someone in a religious society or a position in power, such as the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Others wanted freedom from their struggles, from their sickness, disease. They desired freedom from their own family problems and financial struggles. Everyone had their own idea of the freedom they wanted Jesus to give to them. Now, if that doesn't sound like the world that we live in today, I don't know what it sounds like. It was the same then, and it's the same today. Everybody wants to be free. Now, if someone were to walk into this sanctuary tonight and hand each person a briefcase with $1 million in cold, hard cash, we would each have our own ideas as to how we would use that to free ourselves from different things. Regardless of the amount of money you have now, each person would get a briefcase and you would get $1 million. No one would be excluded. But suddenly you would have within your grasp the resource to solve so many problems. What I do with mine and what you do with yours could be two totally different things. It's up to us. How will you use this gift that represents a particular type of freedom? Would we hold our head high and allow pride to get a hold of us? Would we keep it to ourselves? Would you hide it away and continue to live with the stress of unpaid bills with all that money you have? Or would you let it slip through your fingers with nothing to show for it over a period of time? Or would you use it to be a blessing to those in need? It's a choice that we have to make. I'll tell you a short story, and this is about about the elephant and the rope. The elephant and the rope. A gentleman was walking through an elephant camp, and he spotted that the elephants were being kept in cages or held by the use of, chains. All that was holding them back from escaping the camp was a small piece of rope tied to one of their legs. As the man gazed upon the elephants, he was completely confused as to why the elephants didn't just use their strength to break the rope and escape the camp. They could easily have done so, but instead, they didn't try to at all. Curious and wanting to know the answer, he asked a trainer nearby why the elephants were just standing there and never tried to escape. This is what the trainer replied. When they are very young and much smaller, we use the same size rope to tie them. And at that age, it's enough to hold them. As they grow up, they are conditioned to believe that they cannot break away. They believe the rope can still hold them, so they never try to break free. The only reason that the elephants weren't breaking free and escaping from the camp was that over time they adopted the belief that it just wasn't possible. And many times in our lives, we will go through bad experiences that cause us to believe that life will always be this way, that I am stuck in this position. If we could only see the great power that God has put inside of us and how he can free us, his great freedom, if we could see through spiritual eyes what God's great freedom brings to us, how great it is, and how small in comparison the things that we allow sometimes to hold us back from truly being free in his kingdom. The freedom that God gives to us is not, though, for our personal glory. The world's definition of freedom has to do with the freedom in this world, as I mentioned before. The world is desiring the freedom to do what they please. Jesus came to free us from the world. His freedom is for deliverance from sin. And we have to understand that his freedom will make us more uncomfortable in this present world, because the plan is not for us to live here forever. So when we come into the presence of the Lord, we can either accept, we can either stay and hold on and not give to God our lives and the things that are binding us because we're in fear of what may happen, or because this is the way that I am, this is what I've always grown up, this is what I've been taught, and so this is what is holding me back. But if we can see how great God is and how pitiful the trial is that we're going through in comparison to our God, just like it was in comparison to that elephant and that rope. But unfortunately, sometimes we have been caused to think, we've been made to believe that when I come to God, when I come into his presence, I'm going to hold on to this and I'm just going to keep going and I'll go and be comfortable in my own freedom. But God, tonight I'm telling you that God has greater freedom for us. And the freedom is not for us, it's not the freedom in this world, but it's a freedom from this world and freedom unto him. There's a difference. The disciples had their own ideas regarding freedom. And one day, close to the time at the end of Jesus' ministry on earth, he sent messengers. Basically, he sent an advance scouting team into a Samaritan village for preparation to be made for him and the disciples to either lodge there, eat there. The Bible doesn't go into detail on that particular time, at that particular time. But the Samaritans would not receive them because of the racial tensions that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. But James and John were so incensed by their treatment at the hands of the Samaritans that the story goes like this in Luke chapter 9, verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know the manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. Our God-given freedom should not be used as a license to destroy the lives of others, regardless of who they are or regardless of what they believe. But that's what the world does with their freedom. They want to tell you, the groups, they want to march and they want to tell you, "Freedom, freedom, freedom, we want our freedom." But after a while, they'll turn around and put you in bondage. Because if you don't agree with their definition of freedom, then they will start to oppress you. "But I thought you were about freedom." But you have to agree with us all the time. That's why I'm glad tonight that we can subscribe to the freedom that Jesus has for us. Because his freedom really sets us free. And we have a choice. He gives us a choice. He sets us free so that we can help to free others, because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is about everybody. He wants everybody to be saved. He just doesn't want the people who at this particular point in their lives agree with him and speak well of him, but he looks at them with compassion and says, I want you to be saved also. Like the disciples, we can misunderstand the purpose of for God setting us free. It is not for us to rule and reign on this side of the rapture. It's not for us to be saved in this world, but it's for us to be saved from this world. There's a big difference, and the Apostle Paul spoke to this gift of freedom that God has given to us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. He says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. The saved, the freedom from this world mentality, the freedom in this world mentality is one that will keep us distracted by the things of this world, keeping us in bondage to this world. But the saved from the world reality that God has for us will keep our hearts and our eyes focused on him. That's living in true freedom. And many times this is the difference between giving up and holding on to hope. Let me just explain it a little bit further. When we are saved in this world, we want to be comfortable. We look for God to bless us here and now so that I can be comfortable to do the things that I want so that I can be happy. But when God frees us from this world and frees us unto himself, our affection is not set on the things of this world. Because then we realize that disappointment is going to come. Trials are going to come. Freedom in this world means that when disappointment and trials come, my vision is here. My vision is horizontal. But freedom from this world means that even when trials and problems come, my focus is on Jesus Christ. My focus is vertical, so that I am always keeping him in my focus, so that I will never be distracted, even during the trials and during the problems. The freedom that God has invited us to receive from him is unlike the freedom that this world has to offer. The freedom that this world has to offer and the freedom that God has to offer, two different things. No one is free unto themselves. You have a lot of people who walk around saying that I can do whatever I feel like doing. I'm free to do this, free to do that. But the Bible says otherwise. If either we choose the freedom that God has to offer, or we choose the freedom that the devil has to offer. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Then here's the reason why we should choose true freedom. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 23, a little bit of a lengthy reading, but the Apostle Paul tells us, he says, don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. And he says, I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever increase in wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul is telling us that there is, when we come to Lord, when we have made a decision to be truly free, we are now free from sin. We are now free from death. We are now free from the entrapments of this world because we are now living for God. We will not be able to find true freedom outside of Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling us. We will not be able to find true freedom outside of his word. We will not be able to find true freedom unless we have his Holy Spirit living in us, evidenced by speaking with other tongues as his Spirit gives the utterance, and our sins being washed away in the waters of baptism in his name. This is the only one, the only way that we can truly be free. In the scripture text that we read tonight, Jesus was speaking to some believing Jews that were expressing, and he was trying to express to them about true freedom. They were claiming to be children of Abraham. And when Jesus was speaking to them, they said, "We are children of Abraham." But it wasn't enough to give them true freedom. And they were convinced, like many people are today, that once I believe in God, then surely I am not in bondage. I am free. But you see, believing is not enough. There's an action that we must take after we believe. They say, people will say, "I'm doing my best to be a Christian and to live for God." But he said unto them, "If Abraham is your father, then you would love me." What he is saying to them is that you claim that you don't need to be set free. You claim to be children of Abraham. In modern day today, we can say that we claim to be believers. But here is the presence of God, here's the Spirit of God, and here's the presence of the Lord right here in our midst. And he said, if you were children of Abraham, and if you truly believed, you would be set free. The freedom that only he gives will manifest itself in the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. When we continue in his word, it will be manifest. And a little bit further into this story, John chapter 18, verse 31 and 32 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, 'If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" So here's where these Jews were. Almighty God, manifest in flesh, was standing in their midst. They were in his presence. He was telling them that he is the Messiah. He wanted to set them free. And they were telling him, "We're not in bondage. We're children of Abraham. We're believers. So what you're telling us, we don't need to hear it. We've already been set free." But he's telling them, "No, you haven't been set free." And so sometimes as Christians, we can make this mistake. We can come into the presence of the Lord and be in his presence and hold on to certain things and say, "Oh, I don't need deliverance from that." But we're in the presence of the Lord. And God doesn't only want us to free us from the things, he doesn't want us to walk in a freedom that we've always walked in, like these Jews did. He wants to now reveal to us who he is so that he can give us true freedom, so that we can live in true freedom with him. That is a freedom that God wants to give to us. He doesn't want to give us a freedom where we walk out of this place tonight after the altar service is finished and we go back to the same stuff that we used to deal with when we walked into this place tonight. Because like I said earlier, every time we come into the presence of the Lord, there's a choice that we have to be made. We can either walk in the same freedom we've always walked in, or we can walk in the freedom and say, "God, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to hand this to you. I don't want to walk in the same filth anymore. I don't want to walk in the same stuff anymore. I want to walk in true freedom with you." And this is what they missed. And in going down to verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in a house forever, but a son abides forever." And then again, he says in verse 36, emphasizing to them once again, re-emphasizing, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." It's not enough just to believe on God. Traditions are not going to do it. The Jews had their traditions, and traditions blocked them from getting the true freedom that Jesus Christ had for them at that moment. And that's a lot of times when we can come into the house of the Lord, traditions and what we've even been used to growing up in church and seeing can prevent us from receiving the true freedom that God has for us when we come into his presence. Just like that elephant in the rope, the elephant could have been free. He could walk too powerful to stay and be held by a simple rope. But sometimes when we come into the house of the Lord, if we don't surrender to him, we say, well, this is what I've been through. This is what my family's been like. This is who I am. You don't understand how difficult it is. And I'm not making fun of anybody tonight, because this freedom is a continual freedom. Every time we come to the house of the Lord, there's always something we can give to God. There's always something that we can give to him, because we live in this life. And as we go through our week, and as we go through our month, and as we go through our years, there are different things that come into our lives that come against us. And so every time we come into his presence, like, Lord, this has been bugging me, and I don't want to hold on to it. I just want to give it to you. But many times we can come into the house of the Lord and say, this has been bugging me. But you know what? I don't know what to do about this. I just don't know how I'm going to deal with this. And the Lord is saying, I'm right here to deliver you. I'm right here to set you free. That's what he said to those Jews. The musicians can come to the instruments. When we have his freedom, we will be able to abide with him forever. I can't emphasize it enough that when we come into the presence of the Lord, there's always a choice that we have. We can either choose to be free or continue bound either by sin or the pleasures of this world. We can walk in the ways that we're used to walking, or we can be delivered by him. And sometimes it's difficult. It's not easy. I don't stand here before you tonight saying that this is a piece of cake. And you know why it's not a piece of cake? It's a piece of cake in one sense, because God can easily get rid of stuff. But another sense, because in our flesh, it becomes so difficult for us to let go of things and to trust the Lord, that it keeps us from walking in the true freedom that God has for us. The pleasures of this world, the distraction of this world, will distract us from the true liberty that God has for us. When we came to God and we received the gift of the Holy Ghost, that was our beginning. That was our first step. When we came to him, we gave it all to him. And he freed us. But then as we walk with him, we have to continue to give our lives to him. We have to continue to allow him to truly free us from the things of this world. We made a decision to give our lives to him. However, living for the Lord is a process of continual freedom. It would have been perfect if on the day that we received the gift of the Holy Ghost, we never had problems anymore. We never had to deal with any situations or negativity or issues in this life anymore. It would have been great if we could feel no more pain and no more sorrow. It would be great if the enemy no longer antagonized us because of our past failures. But no, unfortunately, this is not the case. But we can make the choice when we get into his presence to say, here, Lord, I'm giving this to you, instead of dealing with it on my own. So regardless of what we are going through in this life, regardless of what we're going through, regardless of what we're dealing with, we can be free, because God has come to give us true freedom. And I know that this is a Wednesday night service. It's not a Sunday afternoon. It's not a famous evangelist up here ministering the word tonight. But I really believe that in our hearts, sometimes we hold on to things that God doesn't want us to hold on to. And you don't have to wait for a special service. You don't have to wait for a Sunday service. Tonight, you can give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm surrendering to you. Break these chains. This mindset that I've had, that I haven't been able to get a hold of in my, get rid of in my life. Lord, can I just give it to you tonight? Can you just take it from me tonight? I'm doing my best to live for you, God. But there's some things that I'm afraid of. And there's some things I'm even afraid of giving to you, because I'm afraid of what my life is going to be if I live without it. And that sometimes it's the fear of the future. But we also have to give that to the Lord, because when we give it to him, that is also true freedom. See, when we don't give that to him, then we live in this comfortable way that we've been living in, accepting different things. But when we say, God, it's comfortable for me, but I want to give it to you. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what it'll feel like living without this issue, without this problem, but I want to give it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, if we could all stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says this. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And how many can testify tonight that the Spirit of the Lord is in this place? So if the Spirit of the Lord is in this place tonight, there is liberty from all kinds of stuff that's available right now. He's not waiting until you come back on Sunday. He's not waiting until Brother Chris Green gets here to preach an awesome message and a great time in the Lord for us. But it's available right now, because the Spirit of the Lord is here. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So as you come forward tonight, I don't want you to just come and just... don't treat this as just like your basic altar service. I know we don't do that. I probably shouldn't have said that. But I know we come and we give our hearts to the Lord. But what I'm trying to say is that if there are things that you know that you're struggling with, if there are things that it may have been years in the making, remember the Jews held on to their traditions. Jesus was there. So it may have been things that you're holding on to. Come forward. If it's things, just give it to the Lord. Say, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you, Lord, because I'm trusting in your liberty. I'm trusting in your true freedom tonight. Hallelujah.